Thank you, Subhadra Mate. Thank you for all coming. It's really, really precious, significant evening to be here, to be welcomed home. I thought of what to say, and I know Subhadra Mate told us, well, just say or not say, and all the rest. Anyway, I don't think I'm able to stand 15 minutes not saying anything, because I do enjoy saying and sharing my experience. And I thought of a slightly unusual approach. So I will tell you about a text message which captures the impressions of the retreat, and I will then unfold that as an impressions from freshly from the retreat. So it's not very chronological necessarily, but I'm sure you'll get flavours of what I experienced. So on my journey, just after the retreat at Taraloka, which is the women's retreat centre in Shropshire, I was heading towards Abergavenny, where I was planning to have a holiday in a cottage over the Christmas period. And I texted Sugati, who is my dear friend, she then asked me back, oh, do summarise in a couple of words, because otherwise I need to wait all these weeks before I see you in London. So this is the text message, and then I will capture what these mean. Deep, intense, mythic, strong presence of Bhante, Sangharakshita, open skies, sisterhood, arrived on a deep level, joy, light, fire, strong bond with Avalokiteshvara, celebration, bathing in metta, Bardo and Mara, deeply meaningful, happiness, timeless. So deep, intense, mythic. My journey to Taraloka began, of course, a long time before the actual concrete journey started, from the invitation from Parami, who is my public preceptor. And it wasn't a journey up to the mountains, it was a journey to the plains and open fields of Taraloka in Shropshire. And in that invitation we were asked to look into the practices of spiritual death. And I was also reflecting about the beauty in the long weeks of the autumn, from the end of October when I got the invitation. And I was trying to think, well, how London provides that beauty, the beauty of mountains and landscapes, those who have the longer retreat will experience. And of course, concerts and art exhibitions are the beauty that are at our hands. So I went to some classical concerts and really enjoyed those, engaged with those. And one of the highlights was a concert where Sibelius's Lemming Canyon Suite was played. Again, you might pick up this, one of my favourite composers. That is a mythical story of a death and rebirth of its own kind. And all that brought, in a very concrete ways, the death and birth into my London life. Preparation was also about discussions with friends in the Sangha. And my private preceptor, Muditashri, helped me to prepare. We met regularly and deepening my understanding and my practice of going for refuge over the weeks. And also, interestingly, just very shortly before I actually travelled to Taraloka, I met with my other good spiritual friend, Vajrapushpa, and she's Finnish, and she said it in a very, very firm way, "You are so ready for this." And I felt that those words were almost like the words of the Earth Goddess, if you know the story from the Buddha's going forth, the Earth Goddess witnessing my going forth, and I felt that the Mara of doubts had very little to say after that. It was such a strong affirmation from a close friend who knew my process and had been supporting my preparation. So all these steps allowed me to really experience the retreat in its intensity, its depth, and its mythic dimensions. Over that week at Taraloka. Strong presence of Bhante. Throughout that week at Taraloka, I really felt very strong sense of Bhante, and especially in my private ordination. And I feel very strongly that he is my teacher, and I have huge respect for the gift of the Dharma he's given to us, and for the order and community he's created and founded so that we can practice and realize here in the midst of our lives, and take this step so fully. open skies. So those of you who've been to Taraloka probably do know what I'm talking about. The gorgeous open skies, sunsets, sunrises, and the deep blueness that you can see. And they really brought the beauty onto that retreat. And the winds were really strong. They were really beating the prayer flags on the day of our ordinations. I closed my eyes and all of a sudden I thought, oh, am I up on the Tibetan plains where the prayer flags are beating the prayers into the wind? What was really important was for me was sisterhood. So we were five sisters on this retreat. We didn't know each other too well, though I had the great joy of being in the same study group, Jari study group here at LBC with Upakshati, so I had learned to know her over this passing year a bit more. But on the retreat, before that we shared our life stories over the email, and on the retreat we really felt like we became the sisters in the Dharma and were taking these significant steps together, going forth together. And in a way, even though most of the retreat was in silence, the bond and connection was born. I remember the day of our private ordinations, and I went back to my room and there were these new beings and we couldn't talk to each other, and yet there was really strong feel I had with my sister in Brighton, Amaladi, that something really moving happened there. That was the beginning of that friendship. And for me, having sisters on that retreat was really important. When Parami told me about this retreat, that there will be a special retreat in December, I felt it very moving, because I have a health problem that affects my muscles. I couldn't go up to the mountains, and I thought I will be ordained somewhere with my kula or something like that. But having the sisters, having a retreat set up for us, we all shared all kinds of health troubles between us, and yet we were there doing and taking the step together. And it sort of undid a lot of my own history of being excluded and not being able to do the things the same way. And I felt very much that I'm joining an equal order, not just in terms of men and women, as we have equal ordination for both genders, but also an equal order in terms of looking after disabilities and differences in a very, very beautiful way. Arrived on a deep level. So I felt that going forth from home and arriving at home feels like a bit of a paradox, isn't it? But in a way, what I try to do is going forth from those familiar habits, shaking some of them very thoroughly and acknowledging others as a very good working ground for the journey to continue. But on that retreat and very much after that, I felt that I have arrived on a very deep level. Arrived and relaxed. And also I felt that arriving really sort of lit a deep joy and inner light, maybe a fire in me that I hope will shine for others for inspiration. Strong bond with Avalokiteshvara, Avalokiteshvara being the Bodhisattva of compassion. In the ordination I took his visualizing him and chanting his mantra as my practice. And in a way, despite being inspired by compassion and in a way whatever he embodies for a long time, I felt that transformation in that moment created something entirely new out of that sense of what is compassion. New dimension opened to explore in my meditations. Celebration. The public ordination was a lovely, lovely celebration. Taraloka was really, really beautifully decorated, and the shrine room was full. People wanted to come, friends wanted to come to witness our step. It was celebration of the new life, of the new beings, and celebration of the spiritual life that is possible in its fullness here and now. Bathing in metta. The image captures the feeling from the meditations, both in the preparation and during the retreat. At times I called to my mind my friends who I knew were kind of aware of the retreat and really wishing us well. And it was that sort of presence of metta also through all that kind care, very beautifully organized retreat, that harmonious retreat, friends, the team and the preceptors and the community at Taraloka created for us. It was really, really unforgettable. Bardo and Mara. Parami, when she wrote the invitation, she said to us that, well, great spiritual events will invite Maras, the personifications of the unskillfulness, those habitual tendencies will arise very strongly. And I felt I did definitely meet mine, as they usually like to turn up. But I also kind of knew that who they were. They were nothing sort of new. Oh yes, yet again, this old story, this old mind. And in a way, particular intensity was present with that. But at the same time, there was confidence to work with them. And once you recognize them, they do go back into their shadows. They don't like the light when it's been shining on them. Deeply meaningful happiness. So all that intensity and joy, well, that's the part very difficult to capture in words, but that's definitely there. And I hope these companions really stay with me to lighten the onward journey. Timeless. The time really vanished on that week. It sounded very short, looking at the calendar week, oh, Monday in and Monday out. And actually, it just felt timeless. It felt just the right time, just the right place. Timeless time. So what about then the probably most significant outward sign of joining the order, which is the new name? Well, for me, giving up my name was a very big step of going forth, because my old name carried a lot of meanings. First of all, I had chosen it. I'd decided to be called by my first name. That was one of the two given by my parents. Just a week before I went to Taraloka, I actually gave a seminar based on a freshly published book that captured a lot of research. So yet another milestone where your name is shining on a cover of a book. But not this name, so no bother to Google Dharma Prabha, she hasn't written a book. and in a way, that old name carried a lot of career ambitions, which I wanted to go forth from, in a way, because they didn't do good for me. I enjoyed being an academic, I enjoyed doing all that, but in my own way of realizing what the Dharma life is, I had to question that old ambition and rework my way into doing what I'm doing now. So I had to quite strongly loosen up everything around my old name in order to be ready to receive the new name. And so in a way, in ordination, I gave all that control, all that sort of factoring around my name, all that was handed over to my private preceptor. It was not in my hands anymore. And it is actually a really big letting go of saying to someone, yes, you will be giving me my new name, and I will follow that. And it was really, really beautiful to see how I recognized the name in the Kuti. When Mudita-sri said, your name means she whose light is the Dharma, I just really felt, yes, that is me. There was a little mara of doubt whether I'm getting the pronunciation right and all that, but that was very, very quickly vanishing. I do feel that I can say my name really fluently, and my parents are already kind of trying to learn it as well, so it doesn't make a huge challenge for the Finns. And after my private ordination, I sat in the Taraloka lounge by the fire, and a lot of beautiful associations and images around light came to my mind. In the following morning, I had in the meditation a sentence stayed in my mind, I have called you by your name, you belong to me. And that, of course, I recognized from my old journeys as a Christian, but I also felt very strongly it was a whisper from Avalokiteshvara. And interestingly, prior to my retreat, I had a couple of conversations with my spiritual friends, and one of them was around shining the light of the Dharma. So I talked about my studies in psychotherapy and becoming a counsellor and all the theories of self and forming of self and all sorts. And I remember saying, well, I feel that I need to shine the light of the Dharma on all this, because actually there is no fixed self. So all these theories try to still sort of create a self, and there isn't one. But just having that sentence being sort of in that conversation only a couple of months before ordination feels quite extraordinary. So it's been there. And also Dharma, I started to ask the question, well, what is it really for me in the Dharma? What is the heart of the Dharma? And I come back to the Pratiti Samutpada, that is the conditioned co-production this being that becomes in the arising of this that arises, this not being that does not become, in the ceasing of this that ceases, which sounds very abstract in this way, but it is about the continuous pulsation of life coming into being and passing away. And of course, I wouldn't be standing here without all the lovely, lovely friends and support I've had. I really wish to thank Akashapriya for opening the Dharma door in our first early days together, through your kindness and through your ethical practice that really shone through at that point, still shines, and all the support throughout this process and throughout my journey. For Muditashri, I'm really, really delighted of our friendship. I feel a great honour of being your Dharma daughter. I appreciate your very, very lovely sense of humour. And I'm really fortunate that our unlike paths came together. My Kula, Subhadramati, Maitripushpa Sugati and Vatrapushpa, the friendship's been really, really lovely. It's been very beautiful to learn to know you and to have your support. Friends at North London supporting, sending me off to my journey and giving space to practice. GFR friends both here at LBC and North London. And of course, a great thank for Bhante Sangharakshita for creating all this, making all this possible. So that feels very, very precious. And I have a little reading around from the Agana Sutta, which is one verse that's been staying with me and captures the sense of going forth from the names and clans. So this is two Buddha's disciples, Vasetta and Bhadravacha. Both of you, though of various births, various names, various clans, various families, have gone forth from the household into homelessness. If you are asked who you are, you should reply, "We are recluses, sons of the Shakya." He whose faith in the Tathagata is firm, well-rooted, established, steadfast, unshakable by any recluse or Brahmin, any Deva or Mara, or Brahma, or anyone in the world can truly say, "I am a son of the Blessed One, an offspring born from his mouth, born of the Dharma, created by the Dharma, heir to the Dharma."
I've always enjoyed these welcome back evenings. I found them inspiring. I found them very emotional, actually. And standing here, looking out at all of you, it's just amazing. You're all smiling. It helps my nerves, so thank you. I thought a lot about what to say tonight. You know, what can I say? It's filled a lot of my meditation space also. What am I going to say? So I'll say a bit about me and my background. I'll talk about the run up to the retreat itself, and my name. And then I've got a reading actually to finish with, which sums up the whole experience for me. And I've written it down, so you'll have to bear with me. So a bit of background. I'm 65. I live in Hockley, which is near Southend in Essex, with my husband, Doug. Hello. We've been married 44 years. It's amazing, really. Well, it is, isn't it? Don't you think of it? And my son is here, Paul, with his wife. Hello. I've got four grown-up children and seven grandchildren, aged 8 years to 8 months, and they're not here, so we're all right. I first came to the LBC. I was in crisis in 1995. I was searching for something. My daughter at that time had been diagnosed with acquired deaf blindness, and I didn't know what to do and what would help me and my family at that time. So I found the LBC. I learned to meditate. This is 95. And I stayed for 3 years, and then I went I went to the School of Philosophy for 7 years, where I practiced a different kind of meditation called transcendental meditation and read Hindu texts. And I attended with my good friend Terry, who's here from the Sangha. Hello. I stayed for 7 years. And then in 2005, I came back here and I went to one of Mahananda's meditation sessions on a Wednesday evening. And again, I was very struck, as I was in 1995, by the kindness of everyone. I felt I'd come home. I now know this quality to be metta and universal loving kindness. In 2005, I became a Mitra. I wanted to go deeper into the Buddha's teaching and asked for ordination in 2006. For me, the Buddha's teaching of impermanence rang true at that time and has continued to be so to this day. The run-up to the retreat was unusual. I had 1 month to prepare. I got Dharma Dinners, who agreed to be my public preceptor. I got her invitation on the 14th of November, and I've kept the envelope because I was in such a state of shock for a couple of days afterwards. I kept looking at the envelope, and it had Dharma Dinner written on it. So I've kept that envelope. So that was the 14th of November. On the December the 15th, I was driving myself and Jyoti Kari to Taraloka for the ordination retreat. So those 4 weeks of preparation seemed to expand in time. I sorted Christmas out in a week. I rolled all these cars. I just was manic. And thank you for doing so much rapping, Doug, by the way. I embarked on preparation with Shubha, who's agreed to be my private preceptor. I was very supported and very surprised by the intensity of everybody's well-wishing. And it carried me along. I'd always thought I would eventually be ordained on my own, but when I learned the Parami had arranged an ordination retreat at Taraloka, and there would be 4 other women getting ordained, one of whom was Dharma Prabha, I couldn't believe it. It felt perfect. So the ordination retreat had a similar quality of timelessness, as Dharma Prabha has said. If you can imagine the retreat centre in December, it was bleak, it was beautiful, it was wild and windy Shropshire countryside, it was the end of the year, and there's special memories there, and I made new friendships. At that time, Jyoti Kari and Kalyana Varcha very kindly agreed to attend the retreat with me to support me, and I really appreciated that. Thank you. So on the retreat, every moment counted. I couldn't have a headache and sit out in meditation. I had to go because there was only a week. It all counted. So we all became very focused at that time. On the retreat, I experienced a mixture of emotions. Going through the spiritual death to the rebirth, I felt childlike, I felt confused. I didn't know who I was. There were lots of tears, but mixed with feelings of intense happiness. And particularly at my private and public ordinations. And then a sense of calm. When Shubha gave me my name, I cried. I cried and I cried and I cried. I felt shocked. My name, Upeksha D, she who has wisdom of equanimity. It was like meeting an old friend. I'd always been fascinated and inspired by the quality of equanimity. Just saying the word, I find it beautiful. Unshakable, stillness, calm. It has many meanings, which I'm still starting to learn about, linked to meditative states on and off the cushion. But I first discovered Upeksha in about 2007. I learnt a set of meditation practices at Taraloka called the Brahma Viharas, and The Upeksha Bhavana is the final practice of the four. And it's always held a fascination for me. And in fact, several years ago, I visited Sangharakshita, our founder, in Birmingham when he lived there. And we discussed at length the Upeksha Bhavana, and he explained it to me more fully. So it feels an important thread from the past, linking now with my name and going forward from now into the future. Receiving my name was a bit like someone giving you something you'd really wanted and hoped for, but you hadn't told anyone about it. So I felt really shocked, but it felt like it had always been my name. So, and sometime in November I was talking to Shubha about the giving of the name, trying to kind of talk about it a little bit. Shubha wasn't having any of it. And she brought me back to reality and she said, my name is a gift to the world. So there's a whole wider context of aspiration and learning which has yet to unfold around my name in relation to the effect on others. I'd like to offer some thank yous now to all my teachers, study groups, my Kula, Mitra study leaders, many, many friends, to Parami, the team at Tara Loka. They looked after us so well, cooked loads of cakes. It's amazing. All these flags up. To Malika for her encouragement. I know she's not here today. To my KMs, Vanaraji and Maitri Pushpa. To Dharma Dinner for holding me steady many, many times and for handing me a tissue in the public ordination when the tears would not stop rolling down my cheeks. Thank you to Shubha, my private preceptor, for believing in me and for your inspiration. Thank you. I'd like to thank my family and particularly Doug for his support. Wake up. It's true, his head was going, I could see. I'd also like to thank all of you for coming because you've helped me overcome my nerves and my tummy went over every time I thought about tonight. I'd like to thank Sangharakshita, our teacher, without whose vision in founding the Sri Ratna Buddhist Order, none of us would be here tonight. So finally, I'd like to share what has been of spiritual significance for me over this process leading up to the ordination. It's been needing to live with not knowing, practicing patience, kshanti, and shraddha, faith, working with what is, whatever arises, rather than forcing things to be how I think they ought to be or fit them and others to how I think they should be. This has been a massive teaching for me, and I will always remember this time of needing to stand back and wait and trust that all would be well. So the reading that I've chosen encapsulates everything about the ordination process for me, and I'd like to share it with you now. And it's called Living the Questions by Rilke. I want to beg you as much as I can to be patient toward all that is unsolved in your heart and try to love the questions themselves. Do not seek the answers which cannot be given to you, because you would not be able to live in them. And the point is to live everything in the questions now. Perhaps you will then gradually, without noticing it, live along some distant day into the answer. Thank you.